Whereas the Congress of the United States, by a concurrent resolution adopted on the 4th day of March last, authorized the Secretary of War to cause to be brought to the United States the body of an American.
My countrymen, there grows on me the realization of the unusual character of this occasion. Our republic has been at war before. It has asked and received the supreme sacrifices of its sons and daughters, and faith in America has been justified. Many sons and daughters made the sublime offering and went to hallowed graves as the nation's defenders. But we never before sent so many to battle under the flag in a foreign land. Never before was there the impressive spectacle of thousands of dead returned to find eternal resting place in the beloved homeland. The incident is without parallel in the history that I know. These dead know nothing of our ceremonies today. They sense nothing of the sentiment or the tenderness which brings their wasted bodies to the homeland for burial, close to kin and friends.
In the tar paper morgue at Chalons-sur-Marne, in the reek of chloride of lime and the dead, they picked out the pine box that held all that was left of Eeny, Meeny, Miney, Moe, plenty other pine boxes stacked up there containing what they'd scraped up of Richard Roe and other person or persons unknown. Only one can go. How did they pick John Doe? Make sure he ain't a jig, boys. Make sure he ain't a guinea or a kike. How can you tell a guy's 100% when all you've got's a gunny sack full of bones, bronze buttons stamped with a screaming eagle, and a pair of rolled puttees, and gagging chloride, and the pukey dirt stench of the year-old dead?
Every funeral, every memorial, every tribute is for the living, an offering in compensation of sorrow. When the light of life goes out, there's a new radiance in eternity, and somehow the glow of it relieves the darkness which is left behind.
The day, withal, was too meaningful and tragic for applause. Silence, tears, songs and prayer, muffled drums and soft music were the instrumentalities today of national approbation. But though this is a time of mourning, such an assemblage necessarily has about it a touch of color. In the boxes are seen the court uniforms of foreign diplomats, the gold braid of our own and foreign fleets and armies, the black of the conventional mourning dress of American statesmen, the varicolored furs and outdoor wrapping garments of mothers and sisters come to mourn, the drab and blue of soldiers and sailors, the glitter of musical instruments, and the white and black of a vested choir.
I find 100,000 sorrows touching my heart. There's ringing in my ears like an admonition eternal, an insistent call. It must not be again. It must not be again. God grant it will not be.
The blood ran into the ground. The brains oozed out of the cracked skull and were licked up by the trench rats. The belly swelled and raised a generation of bluebottle flies. And the incorruptible skeleton and the scraps of dried viscera and skin bundled in khaki, they took to Chalons-sur-Marne and laid it out in a pine coffin and took it home to God's country on a battleship and buried it in a sarcophagus in the Memorial Amphitheater in the Arlington National Cemetery and draped the Old Glory over it. And the bugler played taps. And Mr. Harding prayed to God, and the diplomats and the generals and the admirals and the brass hats and the politicians and the handsomely dressed ladies out of the society column of the Washington Post stood up solemn and thought how beautiful, sad, Old Glory, God's country it was to have the bugler play taps, and the three volleys made their ears ring. Where his chest ought to have been, they pinned the Congressional Medal, the DSC, the Medaille Militaire, the Belgian Croix de Guerre, the Italian Gold Medal, the Virtutea Militaria sent by Queen Marie of Romania, the Czechoslovak War Cross, the Virtuti Militari of the Poles, a wreath sent by Hamilton Fish, Jr. of New York, and a little wampum presented by a deputation of Arizona Redskins in war paint and feathers. All the Washingtonians brought flowers. Woodrow Wilson brought a bouquet of poppies.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is High Wood, called by the French Bois de Fourneau, the famous spot which in 1916, July, August and September, was the scene of long and bitterly contested strife by reason of its high commanding site. Observe the effect of shellfire in the trees, standing and fallen. Here is wire. This trench, for months inhabited, 12 times changed hands. They soon fall in. Later used as a grave. It has been said on good authority that in the fighting for this patch of wood were killed somewhere above 8,000 men, of whom the greater part were buried here. This mound on which you stand being, Madam, please, you are requested kindly not to touch or take away the company's property as souvenirs. You'll find we have on sale a large variety, all guaranteed. As I was saying, all is as it was. This is an unknown British officer, the tunic having lately rotted off. Please follow me. This way. The path, sir, please. The ground, which was secured at great expense, the company keeps absolutely untouched. And in that dugout, genuine, we provide refreshments at a reasonable rate. You are requested not to leave about paper or ginger beer bottles or orange peel. There are waste paper baskets at the gate.
Here, dead, we lie because we did not choose to live and shame the land from which we sprung. Life, to be sure, is nothing much to lose, but young men think it is, and we were young.